I guess we could get started. I'm really excited to be back. I missed you guys. And I had an amazing cruise. It was just so much fun. It was a spiritual cruise, so we had some very cool speakers and some that were, may have been, you know, operating out of some parts that are a little less than spiritual. But all in all, it was really great. There were two Mayan fire ceremonies and another really cool ceremony on the ship by somebody named Mary Beth Ten White Feathers, who I really liked her. I found that she was very, very real and kind of a very cool lady. So, just the people that we met were, you know, some of the very, very interesting people. it was really fun. And to be with my kids and my grandbaby for almost 2 weeks was just so exciting and very special. So I'm back, and I want to hear what happened with you guys over the past 2 weeks. So let's start with you, Miss Pamela. What's happening in the world of helicopters?
Oh, well, let's see. Today I trapped two gentlemen into hanging out with me for a while and going over electrical systems and how bus bars operate and essential power and all the exciting things that women just know all about. I just missed out on it. Anyway, so I've just been doing that. I've been going in and just putting my energy this past week, and I left on Friday afternoon. I skipped out early, went to Austin to see my brother.
Uh-huh.
And that's tough because he's more comatose now than ever. You can ask him a question, and he'll answer it 2 or 3 minutes later, which is tough.
Yeah.
And but it was nice because I got to leave them some money. And then I drove back, and that's just been about it. I've just been out while I'm walking now.
Is that Anita?
Yes, it is.
Hi, sweetie. Well, you weren't too late. Welcome.
No, I said a few minutes. Thank you.
So Pamela was just sharing with us her week. And Pamela, did you get a chance to, or you probably didn't get a chance to listen to the recordings, did you?
Which recordings?
From the class?
No.
I knew that.
But this afternoon, and I started it yesterday, I've been listening to your tape.
All right.
With your book.
Great.
So I've been doing that, and that's been a real forethought in my mind to get back to those. Because I remember the first set, the one time I sat and listened to them, you said, well, you've gone too fast, too far. But they're just nice and easy to listen to.
Good.
So I was just doing that again this evening and started on that yesterday. And then I'm just trying to, I went to church yesterday in Austin, my favorite church, girls. Oh, my God.
You sound like you're doing a lot easier.
I think just getting away. And then yesterday they were talking about South Africa, and Steve and his wife went with some other Unity folks. And I had tears coming out of my eye ducts, which is just embarrassing as hell, but I did.
And, congratulations.
Thank you. I know. Someone wanted me to go to a meeting tonight, and they said, I can't. I'm on my call to learn how to cry.
You've already learned.
Yeah. He was laughing about it. He just thought that was hilarious. He said, I was watching some baseball movie last night, and I was gushing tears. And I said, wow, we're going to have to get together, and I have to practice.
So am I losing people? Are they coming back on again? What's happening?
Hello, is anyone else?
Yeah, Leslie's here.
Leslie's here. Okay.
I'm still here.
Karen?
Okay, everybody's here then. Okay. Because I'm hearing
you. What I normally do, Marbeth, I normally mute when someone else is talking, so.
Well, you have a dog that tends to get a little bit vocal.
Like, your aunt was talking ugly about you.
No, I wasn't. Sure. He just expresses himself.
Yeah, I know. He gets to talk just like the rest of us. I keep telling
That's right.
him. Okay, express yourself. But anyway, other than that, life is going on. I think I'm catching on some with the EC-135 helicopter. And, I mean, the money, it'd be hell to lose it at this moment of life. But if I did, so be it. But I think just getting out of town, I've come home today, I've done nothing. And that's what's important, is to go in, bust my butt for 8 hours, come home and do, leave it behind.
Beautiful.
Because it's just overwhelming.
You sound like you've passed the hump, you know, like you've turned the corner that, you don't sound so intimidated anymore.
No. And fuck them if they can't take a joke. That's the way. Oh, and I had to get up and give a spill yesterday, girls. We have to tell 3 things about ourselves that no one knows about yet. We had over 100 people. Normally there's maybe about 25 to 30 people, and I don't know why there was 100 yesterday, but I had to get up and talk in front of everyone, and I got a lot of kudos. I mean, literally in the hallway, everyone was stopping and saying, Matt, you are more fun than anyone we've had.
Well, you are fun. So, that's who you are.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, though. It was amazing to hear them in front of all the people I know. I mean, I work with these guys and girls. And all of a sudden, my heart started pounding, and I'm thinking, just ignore it. God, speak through me. Just ignore the heart. So that was so fun because I'm laughing, going, oh, my gosh, this is ridiculous to have that much fear. That is just false fear. So it was. But anyway, but that's it. So that's enough of me. Next.
Leslie.
Oh, let's see. Not too much going on. We've just kind of taken it easy. It's been a normal routine, except this last week on Friday, my granddaughter got married, and we had all the groomsmen here getting ready and hanging out. And then it was just a nice, simple wedding. It wasn't a big dinner dance or any of that stuff. We just had a really good time and got to see lots of people we hadn't seen for a while. And that's about it today.
What are you noticing different in your life?
What am I noticing different in my life? I'm kind of not taking things so seriously.
Good.
I guess it's what I, you know, it doesn't, I just kind
and,
of blow
and how,
it off.
How are your relationships going since we spent
pretty
the last
good.
Couple of weeks working on that?
Yeah, we're doing pretty good with that. Doing real well with that. Relationships are going good. My husband and I are getting along wonderfully, so...
So that's a big shift.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. That's great.
That's about it for me. Nothing much going on here.
Yeah, we can't complain about that. That's a good thing. Awesome. So, okay. So, Anita.
Oh, okay. I got really energized, even more than I already was, listening to the last part of Pamela, having missed the first part. But I have had just an amazing week, and I have had so many shifts in perceptual awareness, and I'm actually, for the past 2 weeks, I started taking care of myself for the first time in about, more than 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm even more busy than I was before because now I'm going twice a week for physical therapy and acupuncture sessions.
Yeah,
and,
good.
And, you know, it's like so many times during New Beginnings, too, Marbeth, you would, just numerous times you would say, what's going on with your neck, sweetie? And I said, oh, nothing much, you know, it's just the same old, same old. And it's just, there's been stuff wrong with my neck for a long time, and it got aggravated by the accident in August, and, you know, typical of me, I just didn't do anything about it, and so I'm finally doing something about it, and it feels really good, and I'm taking better care of myself in other ways, too, and just, there's this huge shift that I'm feeling, and the thing is, to anyone else, it's not discernible, or you know, it's just not something that they can really see. And even for me, it's very subtle. It's kind of like a tipping point.
Right.
But I just feel this enormous shift taking place, and it's amazing.
Oh, I'm so happy. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you didn't feel that you deserved to take care of yourself before, really.
That was part of it. Plus, I just felt like, I mean, one of the things and I know this is part of my purpose in life, I just haven't figured out how to express it. I love doing things for other people. I feel good doing that. And so, you know, I've spent so much of my life doing things for other people, and always putting myself second.
Yeah.
And so it's, I know part of it is there is this huge underlying belief that I'm not worth it and I don't deserve it, but it also is connected to that desire to do for other people.
Well, you know, it's the fact that we are very comfortable giving, but we're not very comfortable receiving. And that's pretty universal.
Yeah.
It's not just you. But I find that, you know, I did a live event last month in Orlando, and I just said, okay, how many people here feel comfortable receiving? Not one hand went up. And there were like 65 people in the room. Not one hand. Because we don't think we're worth it.
Yeah.
We think by taking care of other people, we're earning our worth. But it doesn't work that way. We are already worth it. Mm-hmm. With that, just because of who we are. We're created in the image of God, you know?
Yeah, I definitely understand what you're saying. I'm just saying there's that other aspect of it that I derive tremendous satisfaction from giving to others.
That's beautiful. Yeah. I do too. And most people do, but it's really important to let them give to you.
Right, and I'm finally learning that. And Pamela was very crucial in reinforcing that during New Beginnings too.
You hear that, Pamela?
Yes, and thank you.
Thank you.
That's
and
right.
None of us even know we do that for each other. It's just we did what? What did I do?
You did it. Good. That's really good.
Thank you.
And that's, you know, and that's really what it's about. We really need to support each other. That's the other aspect of this group that's so important, is that, you know, if one person is learning something, everybody else is absorbing it as well. And that really is so crucial. So I'm so glad. That's wonderful, Anita.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Miss Sharon, what's going on with you, honey?
Sorry, you're on mute. I had a spectacular week.
Woo!
And listening to other people, it was really good that I had a chance to listen, because I realized that my spectacular week had to do with a shift in what I think I deserve.
Good.
Because I had a birthday this week.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. And I received constantly and consistently, like I never have in any other birthday in my life.
Wow.
I got taken out to dinner. I got messages on Facebook up the yin-yang. I have 25, at least, birthday cards sitting on my counter.
Wow.
I got a birthday party at work. I mean, it just kept coming.
Oh, I love it.
And then at one of our places where we dance, they had a birthday party for me there, too, and I got messages about what a wonderful time everybody had there.
Well, that must have made you feel very loved.
It was. It was phenomenal. And it wasn't until I heard other people talking that the word shift and deserving and worth it and all that came and said, well, wait a minute. No, that's what happened.
That's what happens. When you shift, the universe shifts around you. It mirrors what's going on inside of you.
And it was an absolute, unequivocal, unable to be rejected demonstration.
I am so happy for you. So wonderful. That's so good. Okay. So, well, And I know Sherry's not here tonight, so everybody's doing good. I had, you know, that amazing, you know, cruise, and I managed to catch up on my sleep afterwards, although I think I'm still a little tired. But no, that was really good. And also, you know, and I'm just going to say, because, you know, we're all here together, and what I learned is that, you know, I have to stop losing myself in my relationship and step back and do more of what I need to be doing, because otherwise I start screaming inside. You know, it's not good. So I'm back and really focusing on where I need to be. So that's really good. I love to support other people, but I really have to put myself first. And that, you know, and that's something that, you know, it's something that I have to watch out for. So I'm just letting you know that, you know, if you have tendencies toward being supportive of other people, and, you know, it's easy to lose yourself, so watch out. That's all I'm saying. But no, really, really good. It's all really good. So, great. So tonight we're going to talk about limiting beliefs. And I did put that up on the website. Let's see where I put that. There it is. On the New Beginnings 3, you'll see under week 3, the homework, are the module 2, the audio files, and it's your perceptual lenses. So basically what this is about is that we have, and I alluded to this before, is that we see things through our perceptions. We see things through our belief system. And if we believe that we are not worth it, that we don't deserve, that's what the universe reflects back to us. And so there's our proof. Well, yeah, there it is, because I knew it was that way, and there's the universe is showing me. So that's the truth. But there's so many different truths, because if you believe differently, the universe is going to reflect a different truth back to you. So it really has to do with your particular lenses. And what I did, if you want to open up the workbook on page 10, let me see, I think I have
it. I got a last more, Beth. What I've listened to was exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, that's funny.
So I've listened to both those tapes. One, of course, that we know about is writing down what our limited beliefs are and then working through them. So,
good.
Yeah, I did listen to my homework.
That's good. Hey, you're actually ahead of yourself.
Exactly. Girls, I get a star.
You are a star. That's hilarious. But, no, it's really true. And, you know, I have taken so many courses, and we have covered limiting beliefs in so many of these courses. And, you know, very often, well, in one, they just wrote out all of these possible beliefs that you would have, and we went through and we zapped them. And, okay, so that was one. But they never did they show how you could actually access what's holding you back, what your limiting belief is. Then I took another one. Well, actually, when I have like a master's level in tapping, you know, the emotional freedom technique, and I've studied other tapping techniques also. And the techniques are really, really good at zapping these beliefs. But again, they don't show you how to get them, how to figure out what is your particular belief that's holding you back. So unless you can actually hone in on what it is that's holding you back, you're kind of stuck. You know, you have to kind of dig around and, you know, and putz around. Is it this one? Is it this one? Is it this one? And it takes time and it takes energy. So I found this really simple way of figuring out what your limiting beliefs are. Is there anybody here who doesn't know what a limiting belief is? Good. Because they're just beliefs that are holding you back from creating what you want to. And they have to do with whether you were whether you absorb these beliefs from your parents, if you've absorbed them from your siblings or your school or your friends, or the media, society. There's all different ways we come up with beliefs that limit us, you know, and so you come up with this thought, if you were growing up in the 60s in the South, that you thought that black people had certain qualities that white people didn't. Well, of course, that wasn't true, but if you believed it, that's what you saw. And, you know, and if you believe that you don't deserve to have a good relationship or have significant income or, you know, to have good friends or whatever it is, that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to show up in your life. And, you know, and Sharon, all the wonderful things that showed up for your birthday, I just wonder, you know, in the past, if people were showing you how much they loved and appreciated you, if you didn't maybe notice it, because you had a different perceptual lens. You know what I'm saying? Sharon, are you there? Okay. Well, I find that very often, I know from my own personal experience that because I assumed a particular relationship, my relationship with my mother, that was a certain way, I couldn't see when she was reaching out to me because I didn't know how to see it. I didn't have the right lens to be able to see it. So these beliefs are really important because they can just really, really hold us back and keep us from being, you know, our biggest, most magnificent self. So it's really important to be able to ferret them out. And you can have limiting beliefs in just so many areas of your life. Is that you, Sharon? Did you drop off?
No, that was me. I hit something.
It happens.
All the other times I get knocked off. I got up to all the wonderful things that happened for my birthday, and then I hit the wrong button. I'm sorry, guys.
What I was saying is that you had all these wonderful things happen for your birthday, but I'm wondering if in the past some wonderful things happened that you didn't even see because you had other perceptual lenses on. Because I've had that experience.
No,
you felt it was different because you've shifted, and that can be too.
Oh, absolutely. By the way, I forgot to mention, which was really poor of me, the crown and glory of my birthday.
Yes.
Was my father called to say happy birthday.
Whoa.
Never, if all you guys, never.
I told
life.
You do this work and pigs will fly.
Has my father ever called me for my birthday? And not
That's
only that.
Amazing. That's amazing.
He said to me, I bet you thought I forgot. And I would have given him a total pass on it because he's 97 years old. And he picked up the phone and he called me. And that, yeah, so...
Oh, honey, I'm so happy for you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that's really wonderful. So, okay, going back to limiting beliefs. So, you know, they're limiting beliefs in the workbook. You know, they're limiting beliefs around money. They're limiting beliefs around your body, about relationships, about work and career, and about you. And I just put, you know, there's not a lot that I put down here. I'm sure there are many, 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 many others that hold us back. But I think it's really important to look at these and see what is it, you know, what is it that's holding me back from having more money or thinking that I have to be stuck in a job that it's the only one that I have. You know, the thing is that the jobs that we have, they're not the source of our financial success. They're not. And that, you know, we're so much bigger than that. So when we give our power away to a job or to a, you know, thinking, well, you know, look at my body, it's never going to change, it's always going to have this condition or that condition, again, that's a limiting belief. And relationships, you know, like, you know, I'm going to have to stay stuck with this relationship because I'll never get anybody better. You know, stuff like that. Those are limiting beliefs. Or, you know, like I always pick losers, you know, men are always unfaithful. Limiting beliefs around work and career that, you know, I'm never going to make enough money doing what I love. Or limiting beliefs about you, like I'm not good enough, I don't deserve, you know, to this or to that. So these are all things that we do to ourselves, and because we're such powerful beings, when we believe something, that reflects in our world. We are so powerful. Each one of you ladies is incredibly powerful. You know, it's who you are. And to, you know that you can just shift your beliefs. Just shift your beliefs and things will shift for you. I mean, that's pretty amazing. So let's look at, has everybody listened to it? Has everybody jumped ahead in the Power of Joy program?
No, I'm not even there, Marbeth. I'm trying to get to it.
That's okay. That's cool. Well, the thing is, you know, and what I love about it is you can, every time you go over a lesson, you can get it at a deeper level. That's the beauty of it. So, talking about limiting beliefs, so suppose you have a limiting belief about money. I don't know that any of us would ever have limiting beliefs around money. Anybody have limiting beliefs around money?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, what's your limiting belief?
Well, just that there's never enough. I mean, there is, but, you know, you always spend a little bit more than you have, or I do anyhow. So.
Okay, so I always spend more than I have, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's never enough money.
Never enough. There's enough for the essentials and what I have planned, but if I want anything extra, there's not. So.
Okay. So here's what I want you to do.
Okay.
I want you to imagine that box, that, you know, beautiful box that we worked with last time, that, you know, it's like 2x2x2. You can make it a designer box if you want, or, you know, you can, you know, customize it any way you like. It is your special vaporizing box.
Okay.
And we're going to stick that limiting belief in the box. Now, if you want to really, let's before we put it in the box, why don't you step into that belief? So you're wearing it. There's never enough money. So you're inside of it, like you're inside of a bubble. Can you feel that?
Yep.
Okay. So really feel that there's never enough money. What does that feel like when you're stuck in that belief?
It feels like I'm being held back. There's things I want to do and have, and I'm just, it's off limits. It's like looking in the window of a candy store.
Right, exactly. And I can you feel the body sensation about that belief? I'm feeling it in my chest.
Well,
can you
I'm
feel
not
it?
Anything. No.
What's
wrong? It's in the chest. I'm aware of my chest, but I don't feel any really discomfort.
Okay. It may not be yours. I'm feeling it. But okay. So what I want you to do is just kind of step through that belief to the outside of it. And I want you to take out a Sharpie and write on that shape that you were inside of. Because you're outside of it now. You could put a post-it on it, or you could just write on the side of it with a Sharpie. And just give it a name. You could name it whatever you want to call it.
I can name it. I'm naming the feeling.
Yeah. Whatever it is, you know, this limiting belief of there's never enough. You could even call it never enough. Whatever you want to
never
call
enough.
It.
Never enough. Okay.
So just
that
write it down
good.
And now take the belief and put it in your box. And put the lid on it. And push the button on the side and let it vaporize.
Ooh, that feels good.
Okay, that's very cool. Now, what you're going to do is I'd like you to, for you to step in the box. And imagine that right over your head is a, there's a cord, you know, like a light cord. Mm-hmm. And when you pull that cord, you are going to allow so much abundance to shower all over you that there is so much more than enough.
Wow.
When you pull that cord, just feel that. It's all golden and it's all light and fun and sunshine. Mm-hmm. How does that feel?
Feels good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what we do with limiting beliefs. So here's the thing. So I've given you a whole bunch of possible limiting beliefs that might relate to you. And if they do, that's great. You know, and you have a technique now that you can use to release it. But suppose you're having, you know that you're stuck somewhere. You've got a job. And you're not happy there. And you, for some reason, you're just feeling really stuck and you don't know quite what to do. Like is there an area where you're just absolutely stuck in your life that you would like to change?
Me, Leslie?
Yeah.
My weight.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. So here, this is a limiting belief around your body. So what I want you to do is, I can't ever reach my ideal weight because, and then just write from the top of your head without thinking about anything. Just let whatever comes through come. And let me know when you're finished.
Okay, what I wrote down was, and this is what is happening, my belief right now is that diet and exercise don't work because I've done it for so many years and the weight always comes back, so now I'm not doing anything.
That's what you wrote?
That's what I wrote.
Okay, diet and exercise don't work because?
It always comes back. The weight always comes back.
Because it comes back.
And it always comes back because I can't maintain eating the way that I want to eat other things and then I get off track. The other thing is I've had foot surgery, so I can't do the exercise. My favorite one is walking.
Okay.
And I'm starting to do it more again and it's getting easier, but.
Okay. So basically you can't hold to the diet.
I can't do it anymore.
Suppose it isn't really about the diet.
I don't think it is.
So, because let me tell you, I was in Ireland a year ago, and there was this woman that she was my roommate for one or two nights. She was a Muslim woman who had been married, living in a burqa, you know, one of those long, shapeless garments. She was so unhappy, and she weighed, you know, I think she was like a size 16 or something, and here I'm looking at this girl, she's like a size 5, and, you know, really stunning. So she says, you know, and she hadn't changed her eating. I mean, the healthiest thing I saw her eat was a croissant for breakfast. She was eating chocolate, drinking Coke. She called herself a chipsitarian because she loved chips. I didn't see her eat anything healthy. I mean, this is true. Nothing. Mm-hmm. She didn't change her eating habits at all. What she did was when she was in the shower, she just rubbed herself and on like her arms or her chest or her belly and just said, I love you and I'm releasing the past. I'm releasing the past. I love you, and I'm releasing the past. And that's all she did.
Okay, I'm writing that down.
Now, that may not be your issue, no. But what I'm saying, you understand what I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So very often we're holding weight because now our bodies know the healthiest thing for us.
Mm-hmm.
And the healthy thing for you may not be the healthy thing for me.
Right.
And I have a very strong sense that you know what food is good for you.
Yeah.
And you know what food is not good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that it pertains to any particular diet that you were on.
Mm. I just know that I usually lose weight better if I'm on eat more vegetables, but I can't even face vegetables right now. It's like there's this big brick wall here that, ugh.
Okay, so basically what you're doing is you're sabotaging yourself.
Yeah.
Okay, so here you go. I am sabotaging myself with my weight because, write that down, I'm sabotaging myself with my weight because.
Okay. Now I have to sit down why, huh?
Well, without, just totally from the top of your head, just write down the reasons. Bam, 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 bam. And when you start to think about it, stop.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, what'd you find?
Well, number one, I'm bored. Number two, I'm lonesome. And I wrote down I'm unhappy.
Who knew?
Who knew?
Okay. Now you want to write down I'm bored, lonesome, and unhappy because...
Okay, I hit another wall. I don't know. Don't want to look at that, do I?
Okay. Well, that's interesting, though. So we'll get back to this, okay, Leslie? But I want to pursue. We'll definitely get back to this tonight.
Okay.
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 Okay. So, Sharon, what limiting beliefs do you have in a particular area you'd like to work on?
Finances is interesting because my belief is that there will always be enough money.
Okay.
But that's not good enough.
Do you want enough money
reality,
or do you want a surplus of money?
Yes. Yes. I don't want there to be just enough money.
Right.
It's important that there be extra money.
Right, exactly.
That's the financial issue.
Okay.
The relationship issue.
Yes.
The relationship issue is another one probably on the same level of importance. It's not an AB column, it's an AA column. And evidently, my belief is, or has been, that I do not deserve a full-on loving relationship.
Yeah, that feels true. Okay, so I do not deserve a full-on loving relationship. Write it down. Because...
Okay.
What'd you write?
Oh, because I'm writing
I'm actually answering the question right now.
Finish it really, really fast, though. Don't give yourself time to think about it. Just write whatever comes to you off the top of your head.
I don't know how.
Okay, what else?
Never seen one close up.
Yeah.
That's all I can come up with without thinking.
Okay. So that's how you figure out what your limiting beliefs are. But you know what? You have a tool that's been working so well for you, don't you? The one where you're
asking.
Yes,
what if?
What if, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What if I knew how to have a wonderful relationship? What would that look like? You know? Just because you don't know how, just because you've never seen it, doesn't mean that you can't pull it in. What didn't come up for you was that you didn't deserve it.
I don't think that.
You do deserve it. It's not about deserving, it's about you don't know how.
Yeah, there's a third one on that that's different. Is the one very important relationship that I thought was a relationship that I wanted was not that at all. It was a facade. It was a lie.
Right.
It was image. It was a show.
Right. So, because when I check in with you, it's not about your being hurt. And you've shifted because you didn't feel that you deserved it. But that's shifting. Can you feel that?
Oh, yeah.
That's already shifting. So now the main concern is that you don't know how. But that's flimsy. Because what if you did? What if you could step into a relationship that's wonderful without knowing how? You know?
Okay, not to put roadblocks in your way, but somebody once said to me, oh, I want a relationship like so-and-so. And I said, no, you want a relationship that so-and-so's relationship looks like.
Yeah. But the thing is that you want the relationship not like what so-and-so's relationship looks like. You want the one that works for you.
Right.
You want the feeling that, it, you know, you have seen relationships that feel good, haven't you?
I think I've seen a couple now.
Okay. Well, here's what I want you to
do. I've got to count my children in there, too. My children have fabulous relationships.
Your kids have fabulous relationships?
Oh yeah.
So, okay, so here, what if you could have a relationship that feels as good to you as your kids' relationships feel to them? It's the feeling, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the feeling of the relationship that you would desire. I'm not going to say want, because want implies lack.
Right.
And we're totally going to get into reality creation, you know, in the next couple of weeks. So, you know, which is really easy to do, but we're starting with this because you're already what if this could actually happen? But I don't feel like those are really limiting you. So it's not just, I wouldn't say those. Now, in terms of the money, the just enough money to get by, that's a limiting belief. So
mm-hmm.
what I would suggest, because the relationship one doesn't feel like it's limited any longer because you've changed so much in relationships already. The fact that your dad called you on your birthday, pigs are flying, baby. Pigs are flying. So that's wonderful. So, okay, but just enough money. So just to write, you know, I only deserve just enough money to get by because, and write that down. What's your because? How many becauses are there? Without getting into your head about it, just whatever comes through. So what is it?
I can be impulsive and wasteful.
So?
I don't save extra when I have it.
Okay, and?
I have allowed, the only thing that comes to mind is not bad things, but stupid things to be done with money.
That you do stupid things with money?
Well, it's sort of, this wasn't me, but it happened while I was married.
Uh-huh.
I've made bad decisions about money.
Okay. So you've made bad decisions. Sounds like you're coming from a judgmental place.
Well,
I'm sorry?
I lost money. Well, yeah. I make bad decisions when I have money and I lose it.
So therefore you don't.
That's a fact.
But maybe that's happened because you feel that you just deserve just enough. And if you deserve just enough, then you have it, and then all of a sudden you make these silly decisions, right?
Yes.
So that may be a reflection of that. So what I want you to do is to step into, I just deserve just enough money to get by. I deserve just enough money to get by. I want you to imagine that that has a shape to it, and you could step into it.
Okay.
I want you to just feel what that feels like.
Very confining.
Exactly. So just feel that confinement. It feels kind of rigid, too, doesn't it? Like you can't really move around in there because there isn't a lot of wiggle room.
It's a coffin.
Yeah.
By the way.
So I want you now to come outside of it, and I want you to get out a Sharpie and maybe a Post-it, whatever you like. I want you to write on the side of it. Give it a name, whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
And I want you to put it in the box, in your designer box.
Okay.
Your vaporizing box. The amazing vaporizing box. So you stick it in there, put the lid on it real tight, and press the button so it is gone. Oop, gone. Okay, so now you can climb in the box, and you've got that cord right above you, and then you can surround yourself with all the abundance of financial blessing that you desire. So as you pull the cord, you're just surrounding yourself with so much abundance, financial abundance. What does that feel like?
It feels like I'm in the sun.
Like you're in the sun?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how do you feel like you deserve it?
Sure.
All right. Very cool. So that's how you deal with a limiting belief. So, okay. So, okay, Miss Anita.
Okay, I'm off mute.
You're off mute. Okay, what's your limiting belief you want to work with tonight?
I guess what I want to work with is that I can't make money doing something I love, and I can't figure out what I could do that doing, you know, what I could do to make money doing something that I love.
Okay. I can't make money doing something I love. That would be the first part of that, no?
Yes.
So, okay, I want you to imagine that it has a shape and you're stepping inside of it. I can't make money doing what I love. So feel you're I don't feel like you're in that shape. I want you to imagine that there's a shape and you're stepping into it.
Like yeah, the problem is I can't figure out what that shape would be.
So imagine that you're stepping into a phone booth.
Okay.
And this phone booth is going to, yeah, because I could tell you weren't stepping into that. That was interesting. So I've just kind of added a different dimension than what's on the MP3s in the program.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that it'll help you move through even faster. Is if you can get a sense of what the belief actually feels like when you're inside of it.
Okay.
So, oh yeah, there, I feel that. But you know what I'm feeling is actually first chakra, which is, there's a lot of fear here. Do you feel that?
I guess so. I guess I think of it as hesitation.
Yeah, no, well, the reason that you're hesitating is because there's a lot of fear. I can't do what I love. I can't make money doing what I love. So,
yeah, and part of it is part of it is just trying to pinpoint one of the many things that I love to decide.
Now, that's the thing is that here's what I want you to do. Come out of this phone booth because we need to do a little more work first. So write down, I can't make money doing something I love because... And then start writing down off the top of your head the because's.
Okay,
so what do we have?
I really only have two things that I could come up with before I have to just sit there and think about it.
Okay.
And the first one is, I don't know which thing to pick.
Okay, I knew that was going to be one of them.
And I don't know how I could make real money doing any of the things that I love to do.
Okay.
And those were the two.
Okay, and I totally don't, I think that there's something else underneath that that we're not addressing. So let me take a look at it from, see, that's the one thing, you know, is that we look at some things that appear to be limiting beliefs, but there could be a different component involved. So let's take a look and see, because,
Okay, well, I just thought of one other thing.
Yeah?
And it just kind of popped in, and it's, because I'm not good enough to do
it. There it is, right there. The biggest one is I'm not good enough. Woo!
I'm not good at any of it. Good enough at any of it.
Okay.
To make money doing it.
Is that true?
I don't know.
I don't think so. I don't think so at all.
I guess I really do believe it.
Hello? And that's what's holding you back right there. I'm not good enough. So what I want you to do is step into the I'm not good enough bubble. And that doesn't feel very good, does it?
No.
You're inside that now. I can feel it. It's very constricting also. What does it feel like to you?
I'm not sure I know how to describe it. It feels really crummy.
Yeah. So good. So you're actually feeling it. That's good. So just really expand that feeling inside that shape. Just really feel it. You know, I'm not good enough. And feel the frustration. And then I want you to come through with your Sharpie and write on it, whatever you want to call it. You can use a post-it on there if you want to.
Okay.
And I want you just to remember
that.
It's
still around me.
No, it's not around you once you step through it.
Okay.
Because you know why?
Why?
Because you're much bigger. You're much bigger than that belief. You are bigger than the universe. You are pure love, pure joy, and you are vast and unlimited and all-powerful. You forgot who you were.
Yes.
So now do you still feel like you're inside of it?
No, I don't feel like I'm inside of it, but I feel like I could fall into it at any time.
Uh-huh, if you get small, you can. So I want you to write on the side of it whatever you're going to call it. This is a really big one, and it's very universal.
Okay, so yeah, I guess self-criticism is one thing.
Well, that also helps, you know, make you small and contracted.
Yes.
So now I want you to put that in the box. I know, it's big. It's like you've got to squish it in there, right?
I can't get it in there.
I can feel it. You've got to squish it right in there. Keep squishing.
Yeah.
That box can expand to hold it. There you go.
Okay.
And put that lid on it. There you go. Woo, that was hard.
It was.
Okay, you got the button?
I already did it.
Wow.
I already pushed the button.
How does that feel?
It feels good.
Okay, so now you get in the box.
Mm.
And I want you to surround yourself with the I can do it energy. Because I totally deserve it. All the goodness from God, from Source, from the universe, is just, as you pull that string, it's just surrounding you, and it feels delicious. Can you feel that?
Yes. Yeah, it's kind of amazing.
Yeah. Now, I want you to think about, what was your limiting belief? I can't make money doing something that I love. Is that true? Ask yourself that. Is that true?
At a certain level, I believe that it's not true.
I'm going to give you what works really, really well for Miss Sharon, and that is the what if, the open-ended question. What if I could create a business, a wonderful business that is financially successful, really financially successful, doing what I love? What would that look like?
Well, it would look fantastic.
Why don't you write? Don't have to answer it. Don't answer it.
Okay.
This is not for you to answer. This is for your higher self to answer. For your mind to answer. You know, because what happens when you ask an open-ended question, you know, if you're asking questions like, why am I so stupid that I can't make money doing what I love? Your mind will come up with 100 answers for that. Right?
Yes.
what's wrong with me that I can't do that? Your mind will come up with 150 answers, you know. But you're going to give your mind a different opportunity to help you.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So how can I, what if I could do this? What would that look like? And just let it go, because the answers are going to start popping into your head.
Okay.
You use these open-ended questions because it bypasses your ego. It bypasses all of the parts of you that are keeping you small. So, you know, what if I could, you know, create an amazing business doing what I love? What would that look like? Don't answer it yourself.
Okay.
Just let it pop into your mind. I want a full report next week.
Okay. All right.
Sharon, tell her how those open-ended questions have worked for you.
I had to take you off mute. I've stopped struggling. It's like I will just ask if something is, you know, like bothering me a little bit. I will just say, well, what if? Whatever. And I just don't even think about it anymore.
And what things happen when you stop struggling?
Things happen.
Like what?
Like my dad called on my birthday. like all the people at work who ignore me all the time gave me a party. I don't know. It's just I'm dancing better. I mean, today and yesterday I had dance lessons, and I said, well, what if I just danced and didn't worry about it? And my instructor yelled at me. I can't use the word yell with him because he's very gentle. But he said, you're beyond that. We can't do that anymore. Now this is how you're going to do it. And I'm at a different level. Just all of these things, I just ask, what if this? What if that? And it's working.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And the thing is, this particular thing, I'm very, you know, when you have a dream and you talk to somebody about it and they say, well, this is what, and you're trying to figure out what it meant. And if they say the right thing, you say, I'm comfortable with that. Okay. I am so comfortable with this.
That's good. And you had trouble with this in the beginning.
I had trouble, not with the what if as much as saying things that I thought I didn't deserve at that time.
Right.
In other words, I had to force that, and then when that shift happened, then I could just say, what if, just about anything.
Yeah, and things have shifted. Yeah, so I want you to try that, Anita, because it's really a wonderful tool, and it just totally opens you up to possibilities, and it gives you power.
Okay, I'm looking forward to this.
I'm going to ask you one other question, Anita.
Uh-huh.
And this is something that I hadn't really brought to the class before, but I was talking with a good friend today, and she had an amazing experience using this technique. So I'm going to share it. And the question is, at what age did you decide that you didn't deserve to do what you loved?
Hmm. I have no idea.
If you knew what it was, yeah. If you knew what it was, how old would that be? What pops into your head?
For some reason, 7.
Okay. So at the age of 7, you made a decision that you were not going to do what you love to do. Okay. And does that have to do with your mother or your father?
I don't know.
But if you knew what it was, whether it was your mother or your father, what would pop into your head?
I'm not sure. I think I'm thinking of this analytically.
No, get out of your head.
But the only thing that I can think of is my mother.
Yeah, that works. So at age 7, you made a decision that had something to do with your mom. At that age, you made a decision that you weren't good enough to do what you love to do. Does that feel true?
I don't know. I think I'm just trying to analyze it too much.
Okay, don't analyze.
Yeah,
I just want to just play here for just a second, because I always like to do things creatively. And this was such a profound experience for my friend that I just wanted to see. So bear with me.
Okay.
And if it doesn't work...
I may have the age off, but I definitely think it has something to do with my mother.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to little Anita. Little Anita, who made the decision not to do, she put her own needs aside. She didn't think that she deserved to do what she wanted to do. So little Anita is here. She's right here with us. Can you feel her?
Yeah, and I've had a sudden realization of something that I've had awareness about it pretty much my whole life, but I keep pushing it down because...
Don't push it down, sweetheart. That's not what we're here for.
And it wasn't 7. It was more like 14.
Okay. You're safe, sweetie.
I just can't believe how you managed to get to these things, Marbeth.
That's what I'm here for, sweetie. There's a lot of shame involved with it.
Yeah.
I just feel it. You didn't do anything wrong.
I know.
But she made you feel like you did.
Yeah.
I just feel the shame. I want you to put your arms around the 14-year-old Anita and tell her how much you love her. Can you feel how it's shifting already?
Yes.
Tell her she didn't do anything wrong and you're very proud of her just because of who she is.
Oh.
But that really set a tone for you not feeling that you deserve to do what you love to do.
Yeah.
Or that you really deserved anything good, because you've been holding on to that shame at such a deep level. And I don't get that's the first time that she shamed you. Can you go back to an earlier time?
I don't...
You're safe.
I don't know. I don't know if there's an earlier time, and if there is, it's nothing... Nowhere
well,
near
there is. I'm just going to go back in time with you. So that was at 14. We'll go back to 13, 12. I want to say 11. There's something here. I'm just going to clear it for you. Okay. You might get a little dizzy. Are you okay?
Yes, I'm fine.
Okay. Okay, so that's 11, 10, 9, 9. What happened at age 9?
I can't think of anything. Let's see, that would be what? Fifth grade? Is that fourth or fifth? Fourth.
I'm clearing it. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Okay. That feels different. You feel bigger. In a good way. More expanded.
Yeah.
You feel that?
Yes, I definitely feel a weight lifted.
Good. So now, do your what if question, okay? What if I could make money doing something that I love and be really happy about it? What would that feel like? What if I deserve to be happy? Because you do.
Mm-hmm. And you're saying not to answer that now, right?
Don't answer it yourself. Let the answer come to you.
Okay.
Very cool. Miss Pamela.
Okay, I'm going to hang up if the debates are on or the town hall, and I've been following all this very closely. So,
wait a second, you're going to hang up?
Yes, because I really want to watch the debate.
You want to watch the debate?
Yeah.
Okay. But what about you? What
about
getting rid of limiting beliefs?
We'll just have to do it another time because I've been really following all this stuff.
Pamela.
You can't record it?
No, I don't have any of that.
Okay.
So I apologize, girls, but this will give you all more time for yourselves, and I can, tomorrow when I walk into my office, I can stand up and hold a true discussion with a bunch of the guys I work with.
Okay,
this will be top of the thought tomorrow.
Okay.
Hugs and kisses. I love you, and congratulations on the breakthrough.
Okay.
Thank you.
Love y'all. Take care.
Enjoy the debate.
I will. Yeah. This is
okay, Pamela.
This is work related. Hugs and kisses.
Okay. Hugs and kisses.
To you too.
Love y'all. Take care.
Okay. So we kind of, everybody had something that was a little bit different than the limiting beliefs that are there, but I think. Do you have any questions about them? You know, because these are things that hold us back. You know, the feeling like, and I'll read some of these limiting beliefs around money and see how many of you relate to them. That money doesn't buy happiness. It doesn't grow on trees. It's hard to come by. It's the root of all evil. People won't like me if I'm rich. There's never enough to go around. I can't afford it. Money won't solve my problems. There isn't enough. You have to work hard for your money. It doesn't come easily. We always scrimp and save for everything we have. It's not spiritual. Rich people are stingy, tight-fisted. They're crooks. They're mean. They're nasty. whatever you want to end the sentence with. Money always seems to slip through my fingers. You have to rip people off to have it. Not lucky. Who do they rob to get a nice car or that nice house? The higher you go, the harder you fall. Things always go wrong for me. I don't deserve money. I can't handle money. So some of those were sort of what you were saying before, Sharon, right?
Yes.
So do any of the others, do you feel, are you feeling any of the others that I just read?
Not really. No, some of them I think are just silly.
Well, yeah, but, you know, they are silly, but, you know, it's really interesting that sometimes people, you know, believe them. And what about you, Leslie, or Anita? Do you relate to those?
Some of those I do.
Okay.
Like what? Are you talking about that list?
Yeah.
Very few.
Yeah, I didn't have very many. I only had about three.
What are they?
Mine is there's never enough to go around, and I can't afford it, and money always seems to slip through my fingers.
Okay. So do you want to experience each one of those?
Okay. Oh, you mean just how does it feel to me?
Yeah. So, I mean, just really step into the belief. Give it a shape and step inside of it.
I did the one, I never have enough.
Right.
So I can't afford it.
Okay. So you're stepping inside of it.
Yeah.
I can't afford it. Are you thinking of something in particular with the I can't afford it?
Just, it seems like right now I'm spending money on, I've got my new Kindle and I keep buying books.
Okay.
And then different things I see on the internet that I want. I'm not
And the refrain is I can't afford it.
Yeah. And
so you're inside of this bubble,
mm-hmm.
of I can't afford it. So what does that feel like?
Restricting.
I'm feeling stuff in your throat.
Yeah.
You stepped inside.
Yeah. It's, I think what I do then is I charge it on my charge card and I go, geez, how am I going to pay for this type thing. That's the thing. I think, okay, I do want it. This is something I want. And then I go ahead and charge it on my charge card, and then I think, ooh, how am I going to pay for that?
Right. And this is a pattern, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. So here's what we want. So you're inside of this. And this is a limiting belief, but it's also a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
But you can still come through the other side, write on it, whatever you want to call it. Remember who you are, that you are all powerful, that you are created in the image of our Creator. So you have no limits. You are pure love, pure joy, pure spirit, all powerful, bigger than the universe. Right? So you feel how big you are?
Mm-hmm.
It seems a lot smaller, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So now put it in that box.
Okay.
Put the lid on it and vaporize it.
Oh, that felt really good.
I know. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to step into the box again and pull the cord and feel all the abundance as it showers down all around you,
mm-hmm.
that is available to you. But I want to ask you, if Donald Trump and Bill Gates offered you a no-strings check for $10 million, mm-hmm. would you feel comfortable taking it?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah, I would.
Check in with yourself. Is that $10 million a comfortable amount for you to have?
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Probably no. I would say no, only a million.
Only a million? Let's check in. Let's check in. Let's check in.
Okay.
Is a million an amount of money that you feel comfortable with?
Nope. I would even go lower.
Uh-huh. Okay. What about 100,000? Is 100,000 an amount of money you feel comfortable?
Yeah. I would with 100,000.
You sure?
Mm-hmm.
Check in again.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if they gave you a check for 100,000, would that feel comfortable?
Yes.
Yeah, that would.
Mm-hmm.
That feels comfortable. Okay. Are you noticing any body sensations when you said that felt comfortable?
No. Did you?
Mm-hmm. I did. It's sort of like I'm comfortable, but I have reservations about it.
Hmm.
I felt like I'm sitting here, I felt my ankles crossed, and, you know, it's sort of like I tightened up. The lower part of my body just tightened right up. So I felt like, yeah, but I'd have to really hold on to it.
Well, that is kind of what I thought, too, so.
Uh-huh, right?
Uh-huh.
So
basically, here's why. Because my husband always says whatever we make is ours, you know, and I've always kept a little aside that he doesn't know about a tiny little bit. I mean, that's what girls do sometimes.
Right.
But it would be, yes, it was given to me. That's my thing. Anything that it wouldn't feel like, I would want to keep it for myself, but they would want to think it was for all of them, my family.
They, meaning your husband and your kids?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so that's what that would be.
Yeah, that's what that would be.
So let me ask you. So do you have a ceiling on how much money you feel comfortable having in terms of you?
Just me?
Yeah.
There's
also the unit of you and your husband.
Yeah.
That's a different issue.
That's a different issue, but he doesn't see it that way. And so any money that I have that is just mine, I kind of have to keep secret.
Right.
It's kind of
So if the situation were reversed, how would you feel about him having money that wasn't yours?
He has had money that wasn't mine, and I've just stood back and let him. He inherited from an aunt and uncle, and I said, that's your money to do with as you want. I didn't have any say in it. But he was generous with me. He gave me money from it, but it was his decision. It wasn't like...
Right.
It wasn't like all of a sudden it's ours.
Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
But he assumes that anything that you is yours is his.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And that's the way my whole life has been.
Yeah.
So
but
that's
what but that is a pattern that you inherited from a long line of women who didn't have any power.
Right.
So time has come to shift that.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what if you had power over yourself in relationships?
Oh, that would be perfect.
Well, what if?
What if?
What if you could step into your power and make decisions for yourself about what's yours? Well, I feel your husband all around you.
Oh, yeah.
He is all around you. And let me just say that we all have, let me see how I can describe this. So you have, like, in your innermost self, there's like, it's like a sphere that's mm-hmm. all you, right?
Correct.
And then around that you have these concentric rings, and you can choose as to where you allow people, whether they're going to be like in the 10th ring or the second ring or the third ring. You don't ever want to have anybody in your space.
Mm-hmm.
Your husband's in your space.
I know.
So
I
you need to move him now.
Oh, good.
He doesn't belong there. Mm-hmm. So you need to move him back, maybe two rings back, wherever he feels comfortable. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So now you're moving him out energetically. We're pushing him back because he came in where he doesn't belong.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been feeling very crowded because of that.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's back like one, two. I would even move him back another ring.
Can we move him back four?
Absolutely.
Okay, that feels better.
Doesn't that feel better?
Yeah.
Okay, anybody else? Yeah, you've been very crowded, honey.
Yeah.
You've been very crowded. Okay, so who else is in there where it doesn't belong?
Where they don't belong?
Yeah, like one of your kids?
Yeah, we have a disabled son, mentally disabled son. He could be there.
Not him. Not him.
Okay, is it a smaller child?
No.
Somebody else, probably my mother. Does it look like
that? Yeah. Is it your mom? Yeah. So let's move her out.
Yay.
So nobody, this is your sacred place. Because you need your space. And you're going to need to check and make sure that nobody kind of sneaks in again. Set your boundaries. This is your space. Can you feel how much better that feels?
Yeah. It does.
Yeah. Yeah, that feels much better. And it has to do with setting boundaries, too.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, that feels so much more spacious.
Yeah.
So, okay, getting back to what the issue was, is that... I lost it here.
Well, we did some stuff, and I came up with I am bored, lonesome, and unhappy.
Oh, that was about the weight. But see, the issue with the weight, if you really want to know the truth,
mm-hmm.
You're using it for protection.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Because you don't feel... You feel like you need a some kind of a buffer between you and the people around you.
I do, yeah.
But that's not the only reason that it's there. So, and I don't get that you're really bored, lonesome, and unhappy. Maybe you're somewhat unhappy.
Yeah. That was just what came when I wrote, but maybe it's not.
No.
I don't
feel like you're bored. Are you bored?
Well, no, because I'm really loving reading. I'm just reading, reading, reading.
Are you reading to learn? What are you reading?
Oh, this is a hoot. My childhood was very, I was sexually abused and all that stuff, and I just never got sex, ever. You know, even married and had kids, I just go, I don't get what the big deal is here. So all of a sudden... I'm reading romance novels, and I'm just having an awful time with myself behaving around my husband. Is that a hoot?
I'm
3 years old.
So?
All of a sudden, I've come into my sexuality.
That's wonderful.
Well, I know, but it's
because you're
like
feeling safe.
Well, yeah, I am about that. But, yeah, because that's been, I just have never felt safe around that.
That's beautiful, sweetheart. I'm so happy.
Well, I know, but it's just kind of embarrassing to be on there. Reading all that
romance.
How
does he feel about it?
Huh? How does he feel about it? Well, poor guy. He at first he liked it, but then now he's intrigued by it, but he's kind of overwhelmed by it. Well, he's had prostate cancer, so you know it's not an easy deal for him.
Right.
So, you know, so I think he's, I don't know, he's just, I don't know, he's just different. Some days he's fine with me being very affectionate with him, and other days he's not.
Right.
So, that's his problem.
Okay.
I mean, I'm real clear about that's his problem, one way or the other, but it just is weird. And so the thing is, now I'm through the part, the graphic part, and what I'm really enjoying is how in these romance novels, women are always so cherished and desirable.
Right.
And I don't feel that way.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
Because that really is not about sexuality.
Mm-mm. No.
It's about really feeling that you're loved and cherished for you.
Mm-hmm.
So now, because we, you know, this, I really feel like this group has so much to do with relationships, you know. So the techniques that we used before, you know, about really letting him, showing him the appreciation and whatever, how has that affected things?
Well, it's made, well, then when I started doing that was when I all of a sudden whopped into the romance novel thing.
So he probably doesn't know what the hell happened to you.
No, he doesn't. But he says, you just keep taking your class online. Because I tell him I do it.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I know.
That is so funny. So, okay, but he's definitely enjoying it.
He is enjoying it, yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely enjoying it. So that's great.
That's probably why he's in my space. Well, he's always been in my space. But
no, it's not why he's in your space. He's always been in your space.
Yeah.
You're just finally starting to set your boundaries.
Uh-huh.
Because you didn't have boundaries, sweetie. You didn't.
Oh, I know. And I have been going through stages, too, where he has his point of view and he thinks everybody should agree with him. That's kind of what men are like sometimes. But anyhow,
some of them,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, and so I call him on it, and so I'm getting better at calling him on it. Stuff
good.
That has to do with me. I mean, I don't pick everything, but he says something or does something that I just totally see from a different angle. I let him know where before I wouldn't have.
Good.
Because that's
I'm
how.
Sure, I'm, well, yeah. Well, you're
that's
definitely
where I came from.
You're definitely shifting the relationship.
Uh-huh.
You're shifting the point of power in the relationship. That's
uh-huh.
great.
Uh-huh.
That's awesome. So
yeah.
so anyway, part of we need to set up a one-on-one, really.
Okay.
So we can work through the weight issue because this really there are more involved issues with this, and we can definitely give you some specific ways of shifting it.
Okay.
I had a program a couple of years ago called Weight Escape.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, it was very interesting and successful. So
good.
We can
so
help
set
you
up a one-on-one with you then.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. So, okay, now in terms of limiting beliefs, Anita or Sharon, do you have any questions?
No, not a question. I have I'm sorry, Anita, something's been on my mind. I think I figured out what my limiting belief is about a relationship because I went back over my statement to somebody when they said that, okay. My belief is I don't believe there is one.
Okay, that's
I don't
true.
I don't believe it's real. When I said you want what so-and-so's relationship looks like, I was denying any possibility that it could be real.
Okay. So your limiting belief is that people can't have a close, loving, intimate relationship.
Right. It's image.
Okay. So that you don't believe that there actually is the possibility of people. So, okay.
You don't know what's going on behind closed doors.
Okay. So let's take a look at that. That again, is not a limiting belief.
No, it's not?
I don't believe it. I think that there's something deeper there. So let's just, for a moment, okay, I'm going to ask you, when did you make that decision that there was no such thing as a good, happy, loving relationship? At what age did you make that decision?
Not
from your head.
Early 20s.
Okay, yeah, I feel that. And it didn't have to do with either parent.
Correct.
What did it stem from?
An aunt and uncle.
Okay, tell me about it.
Well, this was father knows best family. Until I found out that it was exactly the opposite. Father was a tyrant.
Okay.
In their house.
So you stayed with him, and that's how you found out?
No. My cousins just started talking, and I almost went into shock.
Okay.
When I found out what was really going on.
Because
in that
house. You really felt this was your dream family that
yes.
You wanted to model your relationships after.
Yes.
Okay. So when your cousins told you what was actually going on there from their perspective, what were you feeling?
The first word that came to mind was I felt betrayed.
Yeah. So feel that feeling. Okay. Are you feeling it still?
Oh, yeah. I feel like I've been kicked in the stomach.
Good. I don't mean good in that sense.
I know.
Okay. So just feel it. Feel like you were kicked in the stomach. That if they're not happy, if they're not a happy relationship, then there can't possibly be a happy relationship. There it is right there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're just going to go back to that place. But isn't that a limiting belief?
Oh, sure.
So here it is. Here's the limiting belief. And I want you to step into it. What were their names, aunt and uncle?
Rhoda and Saul.
Rhoda and Phil?
Saul.
Okay.
S-A-U-L.
And what? And Saul?
Saul, yeah.
Okay, Rhoda and Saul. So here's a limiting belief. If Rhoda and Saul don't have a happy relationship, then nobody can. Would you say that's the right one? What's the actual limiting belief here?
It's sort of like if what they had wasn't real, then what anybody is showing to the world isn't real.
Okay, so step into that belief. That's so funny. I saw you putting it on like a bodysuit.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that feel like, that belief?
Heavy.
I'm getting
very
the weirdest
heavy.
Images of your belief, I would tell you. I saw it go on like a bodysuit, and then it's like getting all of these appendages that are like springing out. It's bizarre. So, okay. So it feels really heavy. Good. So get out of it and come around to the other side and write on it with a marker, a Sharpie. Give it a name, whatever you want to call it, because it's not true. Only true if you believe it.
Okay.
And put it in your box. Put it in the vaporizing box.
Okay.
Oh, I feel like it's still going in.
Mm-hmm.
It's still going in. I'm watching it. It's still going in. Okay, now close it and push the button.
Okay.
Yeah, that feels different. So now you climb into the box, and I want you to pull the cord, and what's going to surround you are positive ideas and expectations and new beliefs about the possibilities of wonderful relationships. How does that feel?
Hopeful.
Yeah. Well, sweetie, I'm 64, and I've been in a good relationship for 2 years, best I've had. So, you know, it really doesn't depend on your age.
Oh, that's not been the issue.
I know, but I'm just saying. You know, and I believe me, I experienced, you know, a very abusive marriage and overcame that, turned the tables, you know, through working on myself. So you can totally shift any beliefs. There's no order, difficulty, and miracles. Things can shift and get better and better. So there are all kinds of wonderful possibilities opening up to you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Any other questions?
Thank you for that time, Anita.
Not a question, but I just wanted to add a footnote.
Yes.
To what you said about age, it doesn't make any, it doesn't depend on age for a relationship. The
for anything.
Yeah.
For anything, nothing.
The couple I've told you about that I just love them so much, he's 88 and she's 96, and they found each other 16 years ago, and they are just the most adorable couple, and they love each other so much.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if anybody had told me that years ago, I would have been like, oh, my God, I have to wait that long.
Age has never been an issue with me. I've had friends who say to me, did you ever think you would be doing what you're doing at your age? And what does age have to do with it?
What does age have to do? Nothing.
That's never been an issue for me. And besides that, I'm of the belief that I was born 25 years too early.
Well, you know, everything is perfect, really. Absolutely perfect. So any questions? Good. So I put the homework up on the page, and we'll get the recording up tomorrow. So we're good.
Okay.
Good. Okay. And so, Leslie, we're going to work on that. Okay, sweetie?
Okay. Thank you.
Awesome.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, and I want to thank all of you, because it has been so wonderful just having this communion and I don't know. There's an aspect of everybody that I feel such an affinity to, and it's just so helpful to hear people talking about things that I can say, wow, I can really relate to that. So I just want to thank you, all of you.
Thank you, all of you, for me too. You're all such a joy. And this is really so much fun on so many levels. I love you all. So next week we're on.
Okay.
Have a wonderful week. Many blessings.
Thank you. Same to you. Thank you, everybody.
Good night,
everyone.
Bye.